Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
It's good to be with you guys. Please grab your Bibles and go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This should be a familiar one for you. Romans 8, 28. So here we have Paul going through the work of salvation through the book of Romans, talking about what sin has done to the human race, how it has become a weight. And when we get to Romans 8, we have Paul pausing and beginning to talk about, well, now that God has done this, what is it in your life you should begin to see of Christ in you? And I actually started, as I was going through Romans 8, the whole chapter just recently, I had noticed that there are this continual descriptions of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ and the present reality of walking with Him. And so I decided that I'm going to develop this with wherever I travel for the next several months, these victories of Christ. Especially since last month, we talked about Christ dying on the cross and the resurrection. We're actually at an interesting stage now in your walk with the Lord, because a lot of times when people focus on the resurrection and stuff, they say, well, that's an event, it happens, here's an eternal reality, but how does this affect my everyday life? Or what do I see Jesus actually doing in my everyday life? And so, Romans chapter 8, Paul is now saying, because of the work of the cross and the resurrection, this is what God is actively doing in your life right now today. And if you guys are like I am, when you come into Scripture and you start looking at it, you have to go through a transformation on how you look at life. The Bible begins to give you two paths of life and how to look at it. One is the way you were before you were in Christ, and there's confusion, things don't make sense, you don't know what the future holds, you have this a really deep need for a sense of love and wisdom and security, and you just don't have it in your former life. And then you have the Christian life being presented to you, that God is with you, and there's life, and there's love, and there's hope, and our mind has to come into a transformative understanding of how do I understand the activity of the Lord in my life right now, today, and should it produce something inside of me? If you guys notice, the whole entire service actually got us ready for this message this morning. We talked about Joshua going into the promised land and the captain of the Lord of the hosts standing there before him and saying, look, I'm not here for your side or their side. I'm calling you to walk with me into my victory. And then he takes them into the promised land. Then we heard all the scripture about God being with his people and delivering them from every evil. But you and I are now in time, right now, we're living this. This is what they experienced in the past. So do we have something from Scripture, from what Christ has done in our day, where we can come to a place where we're secure no matter what is going on the planet? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So, let's start breaking this down. We know. There's several words in the scripture for the word know. Depends on what the passage is talking about. Sometimes it means experiential knowledge. I have to experience something before I know it. But that's not the word here that's being used. The word here often means the idea of going through life and being able to understand and gain wisdom from it. And so now Paul is making a statement about walking with God. Christ has done all this for us. Now the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, And what happens is he gives us the ability that as we go through life, we begin to go through experiences, experience what Christ is doing in us and through us. And then what happens is we gain wisdom from that. So as we go into the next season, we have something to refer to and say, if God was able to do that for me then, and his nature does not change, he will be able to do it for me now, and it should even be better. And so this word for know isn't the idea, well, I just have knowledge. It actually means experiencing God and then gaining wisdom for it so that I grow into a deeper place of settling in the love of God in a real way that when I move towards my future, I begin to look at it with a different expectation. People that do not walk with Christ, I don't know when you guys came to Christ, but remember, before you walked into Christ, you had a sense of the future, but you didn't know if you could expect good to come from the future. And so you spent a lot of time trying to accumulate things to have a sense of security so that you could have a hope for the future. And here the Bible is saying, we know something about God. And what we know about his love that we can now define and distinguish as we move into the future is that he can be where I place my hope. He's done all the work that it needs to be done. I find out that he is for me, so who can be against me? And it makes me actually look at things that would actually scare people that do not know Christ, and I begin to have joy going towards it as my mind begins to be renewed. So we know that God causes all things. That's an interesting thing. Let's take the word all things just for a second here. God causes all things, and it's actually just one Greek word, and actually is interesting. There are words that are used in the scripture, and it points to a spiritual reality. Like you have to know something about the spirit realm. It affects you, and then your everyday life has something happen. But this is not that kind of word, or the idea is not all things are in the spirit realm coming down to you. It's actually saying that all earthly things that you're experiencing. So it's now telling you exactly how to understand the Lord's work in your life. God comes into the natural realm and he causes all things. Okay, causes all things for what? There's an effect that God is looking for. Through everything that you go through, God is looking for a specific effect. Now this is actually interesting, because this actually begins to give language to the idea of living in a fallen world and being affected by sin. What does God do in response to these things? God causes all things to work together. So let's take the word work together. So the Greek word where we get the word synergy. Now what's interesting about this word synergos, which is it's not just the idea that God causes it to come synergistically. The way that it's described, it's like, again, back onto a path. God has you on a path. When you go through the door of receiving Christ and you're now on the path of eternal life, this word synergy is really interesting because it just said God is going to cause an effect in the earthly area. So now, synergistically, you have to think of it like this. When you come to Christ, it's literally like a tornado starts forming around you of the grace of God, and it synergistically touches everything that you come in contact with, because God is trying to take everything that comes towards you and produce an effect towards the victory of Christ in you. So that actually means everything that I step into, regardless of someone else's intent in that effect, God is going to bring synergistically eternal power towards it to cause an effect. So that now means that your life, we sometimes hesitate to say this, your life is now being sovereignly, divinely orchestrated for an effect of God's love to you in the present life. Most of us would say this, gosh, it's going to be great when I get to heaven. No more sickness. No more disease, no more fallenness, no more paying my bills. It's just going to be great. I can't wait. But the Bible actually points very, very clearly, because of what Christ has done on the cross, that reality that we keep hoping for, God is on a love journey with you right now to convince you. You don't have to wait till then. I'm going to prove it to you when it doesn't look like it. And the worst that can happen to the human race, I'm going to come near you and I'm going to cause an effect so I can actually prove that I love you just as much now as I'm going to love you then. And I'm going to work dynamically inside of you so that as you go through circumstances that you think, wow, I really didn't like that, by the time Christ gets done synergistically doing a work of love inside of you, he's going to make you look at it and go, wow, what a blessing I went through that. God causes all things to work together, and then it points to something, towards good. Now, there are several ways that good is described. There can be a good relationship or good in the sense that something has worked out. But this word for good, I actually looked at it and I thought, the way they translated good, but we're back to these qualitative words again. This is a qualitative word for good. So mankind has his definition on what he thinks good is, right? We would say it like, if I win the lottery, that's good. Or if I get to go to Hawaii on vacation, that's good. So that's how people look. They give standards of what they think is good, and then they say, let's get to that. God says, well, I have a standard of good. And what's interesting about this word, it doesn't mean good as a state. It means good as a quality, and it's funny. It actually means a higher state of goodness, which actually means excellence. So a way you could actually translate it is God synergistically, by the grace and love of God, takes everything that comes near you and he makes it go to the highest level of good, which is excellent in your life. Now that actually means that Paul is now having a conversation with the people that are reading this epistle for the first time, and he's saying, I know you're going through persecution. I know you're going through this oppression. I know there's the effect of the world that's affecting you. But God is going to come in the middle of that in your life, and he's not going to only make it good, he's going to make it excellent toward you. That's why the response of walking with God through anything, and tell me if you guys are like I am. I'm trying to figure out how to avoid every situation in life because I just want to be on vacation for Jesus. It's like, man, how do I go on retreat for my whole entire life and then go into eternity? Let's make this easy. And God is trying to say, no, it actually really doesn't matter what situation either you go into or you're forced into. God is synergistically grabbing everything and moving it towards an excellence of good. And the excellence of good is to cause you to begin to see what's called the handiwork of God in reality in your everyday experience. Now, just like in your life and in my life, I sit back and I go through certain things, and depending on how I interpret what I'm going through, it's the longer it takes for God to get his goodness across to me. There have been a lot of things that I've gone through that I've lost the sense of my identity, believed that God had abandoned me, or I'd done something that had brought this awful thing into my existence. And the Lord has had to come and nurture me, synergistically nurture me past dropping that lie, receiving my true identity, and being restored towards good. And when I get on the other end of it, I can look at it and go, actually, that was necessary, so I don't have to go there again. It was necessary. I need to go back to the word good. This is, and so that this doesn't just sound like, well, you're just talking about the state of your soul. The word synergistically good, the word good here, striving towards excellence, means both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. So God is synergistically working so that in the physical world you live in and in your walk with him, it goes to the highest quality of excellence in Christ. Now let's just stop for a moment. What if God is actually doing this and we don't recognize it and we're missing the adventure that Jesus has called us? How do we get ourselves to get in alignment with this? A lot of people believe, well, it's by reading Scripture, and I would be one of the first ones to say, you should read Scripture. I'm reading you a scripture. It's life-giving. But I want to talk about a practical application with you just for a moment to get your soul in alignment so you can see this dynamic and it's real to you. God has given us a very simple thing. It's a key in the kingdom of God. And it's just called thankfulness. When I begin to become thankful for everything, which the scripture tells you, be thankful for everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you say, now I can understand that. When I'm getting the new car, or I fixed my truck and it's really cool, or I got to shoot a deer, or I went on vacation, or all that, I can thank God for those kind of things. Maybe some of the women wouldn't agree to some of that stuff, but... But we look at it, we say, if something goes my way, I'm going to thank the Lord. But the Bible says, no, actually do this at all times. So why would you want to do this at all times? The only way I know how to describe it is the atmosphere of heaven is constantly worship and thankfulness. When I become thankful, I plug into eternal realities and my soul comes into wholeness and alignment. And so when the scripture says God is doing all these things, and we say, well, yeah, I don't know, but I can see God, it looks like God's working on my behalf, but inside my own understanding, I don't have a sense of that. And God's saying, turn your heart to have a sense of it. Let me bring wholeness into you by creating thankfulness inside of you. What it does is it does this thing called transforming the way you look at things. And all of a sudden, things that are difficult, you begin to enjoy them. Things that you think, I don't really know if God is with me, because you begin to thank God, it creates what's called an awareness of Him being involved in everything. Your soul is now getting a constant infusion of the joy of the Lord, which God says, that is your strength. And all of a sudden, your soul comes into alignment with the reality of what God is actually doing all the time, but we just don't recognize it. Do you guys ever read testimony books of Christians that have gone before you, and you just watch the stuff they go through, and then they point back and they say, and yet God has given me this victory through this whole entire thing. And I used to read those books and think, how could you get to that place? It sounds like it's hard, but God has actually given us very simple keys. Become thankful. Let's keep looking at the passage. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. The word called here is interesting. It could be called to something, or this one is a past tense of the word called, and which actually means it's the idea of the effect of the call. So here in this passage, it is now beginning to take the word call, the purpose, purpose and call, and connect them together, and it's saying, okay, so God has determined from eternity past that when men and women come to Christ, He's going to put a purpose of His working in their life. And what happens is you're going to begin to, regardless of how you see it or understand it, God has determined this is how He is going to work, and you've been called towards this. It's literally like a sense you're being called from one land of existence to another. My grandparents used to own a ranch down in La Vida, Colorado. And when we would go visit them, they always had this, to get into the ranch, we had to go through this cattle guard. And over the cattle guard, they had this big sign that told us it was their ranch, right? And I've had, I don't know how many encounters with the Lord where either in a dream or a vision, He's had me look at that, and then keeps telling me, would you go through the cattle guard? So when we go through that cattle guard, it represented that I was going into my grandparents' land. I expected the world that my grandparents lived in for me to flourish in, which were horses waiting for me and being on the ranch and doing all that kind of fun stuff. And so that's the idea that's being given here. God has this thing called the work of Christ waiting for you. When you went through the cattle guard into the kingdom of God, these things got released over your life, and it literally takes a lifetime to recognize you're in a different land. And the land is unique. And so when you begin to have conversations with people that have not experienced this, they actually talk to you like you're from a foreign country because they can't understand you because you're in a foreign land. You're in a different kingdom. And what the Bible is saying is when you went past that cattle guard, the purpose of God, this is one of the purposes of God, wasn't just to save you and get you ready for heaven. It was a dynamic encounter with the goodness of God that would change your soul in such a way that you would begin to look at life full of hope, full of joy, and just say, wow, it doesn't really actually matter what's going on the planet. God is for me, and so each day is a victory. Everything that I have to face, any trial, God says, that has been ordained to actually blow you away on how much I'm for you. Now, do you guys wake up every day and go, wow, I can't wait to see how God's going to blow me away today by showing me He's for me? Now, if you're not thinking like that, I know that sounds kind of radical. It might shake some of you guys, but look at tomorrow a little bit differently and say, okay, no matter what comes, God has ordained for me to be blown away by His intervention and love. He wants me to begin to recognize it and say, wow, look how powerful the love of God is. Now, if you have not done this, I would encourage you, it's a really cool exercise. Think about things that God has helped you get through. Thank Him for it, and then recognize how God demonstrated His love to you by doing that. And what it does is it begins to help you look at the world that you've gone through, not like, wow, I can't believe I just got through that one. I don't know how God did it, but wow, I mean, I lost a lot of hair and I lost a lot of weight. I didn't sleep very well through that whole entire process. No, the Lord's saying, no, go back and look at it. You might have been stressed out by it, but now reflect. God overcame that situation and delivered you from it. So you should be grateful for one, and the next you should say, now what is God saying about His love towards me in this situation? And He's trying to, isn't this amazing? He's trying to convince you of something. Now I'm going to add in one more scripture and then I'm going to be done. In Ephesians chapter 2, it begins to have a conversation with you. It's a prayer that Paul is finishing. And he's beginning to have a conversation with the church and saying, do you recognize that you're seated with Christ? It begins to have those conversations. And one of the things it says about you being seated with Christ is this. You're seated with Christ for a distinct purpose so that God can convince you for eternity how much He loves you. Isn't that interesting? So the God of the universe, who is actually sitting on the throne, has determined that He's going to sit you with Him for one purpose, at least for this passage of Ephesians chapter 2, He's now telling you the purpose He's seating you isn't just that you're at the highest level of authority of the universe like He is. You do need to know that. But there's a reason why He has you seated with Him, because He's put you right next to Him in the highest power of the universe to convince you of one thing. He's going to do this work of convincing you of His love for you forever. Now, most of us think, well, I'm going to be convinced of God's love on this side of eternity. You're right, but it's not going to stop there. You're just going to jump into a deeper well of it in eternity, and you think, well, how many lanes of this am I going to swim? Well, you're going to be swimming in it forever. You're never going to not have God convince you how much He loves you. Now, I know that kind of blows your mind, so let's just do some mind-blowing. How does that work? If you have the perfect God constantly emanating Himself to beings that He's created, and forever He's going to constantly convince you He loves you, that means that God's on some kind of purpose here with why He formed you. Now think about this. Did God form me to say, wow, look how much you can suffer? Or did God say, I formed you to show you no matter what you go through, the excellence of my love for you will win? I believe He's in this category. And every tragedy, everything that we have to face, God is saying, that is going to have my synergistic love come toward you, and at the end of it, I'm going to be victorious because of what I've done for you. And you're going to look at it differently. And the thing that actually you thought was going to crush you produced a jewel that you're going to place in your crown. And when you stand before the Lord, you're going to throw it before his feet and go, "You're worthy." Would you guys pray with me? I'm so grateful that this is one of your promises in Scripture towards us, Lord. The victory of what your Son has done. So, in front of my brothers and sisters, I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are causing all things to go to the highest level of good. You're on a pursuit with us to convince us that we have nothing to be afraid of and that you are for us. And so, even as we prayed earlier, I'm going to just engage in that prayer again. Anywhere where we feel defeated, embrace us right now, Father. Convince us of your love for us and deliver us from all things that are holding on to us. And I thank you in advance for their victories in you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org. And be sure to like our Facebook page.